Welcome to the Essential Church Podcast. Our goal is to strengthen and equip church and ministry leaders just like you through practical and theological discussions about some of the most pressing and important issues facing the local church today. We feature conversations with members of our team here at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, as well as interviews with authors and thinkers from around the world. You can follow the essential.church on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Watch episodes on our YouTube channel and also subscribe to our podcast via iTunes and Spotify, where you'll find a full archive of previous conversations. And now, here is this week's episode of the Essential Church Podcast.
Welcome to this episode of the Essential Church Podcast, an ongoing conversation about some of the most important issues facing the local church today. I'm your host, Andrew Arndt. And today I want to take you to an interview that Pastor Sarah Jackson did with Glenn Packiam and Holly Packiam on the question of intentional rhythms. For the last 10 years or so, Glenn and Holly have been embracing a pattern of intentional rhythms within their family, space to get away and reflect on what the Lord has done and also reflect on what God is doing, and then try to answer the question, how do we prioritize our schedules to match those things that we feel like God is thinking and speaking over our lives? I think you're going to be really blessed by this. Glenn and Holly actually have a book coming out on this very topic next year. So in some ways, this was them practicing their elevator speech a little bit, but it's actually really wonderful. I learned a lot from it. Mandy and I had some great conversation about what we might change in our own family as a result. So I think you're going to be helped by it. And as always, without further commentary from me, here's to the interview.
So I'm here with Pastor Glenn and Pastor Holly talking about intentional rhythms, and I would love to dissect that word a little bit because, you know, what's the old saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So what does intentional have to do with intent or intentions? Yeah. Why are we using that language when we're talking about our life? You know, have you ever heard someone say, like, oh, they're so intentional? What does that mean?
I think of that, is it the John Lennon song, Beautiful Boy, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans? I think what happens to us, at least, you know, for me, and kind of in our home, is it's easy to make plans for everything else. You know, let's plan for, you know, a work thing or a conference or whatever. And early on in our marriage, what would happen is I would end up saying yes to certain things, or, you know, this was in my wannabe rock star band, Christian worship band phase, and I'd say yes to this invitation or that invitation, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, well, there went our spring break, or there goes half our summer because we're trotting around at playing at festivals at the, you know, random stages or whatever. And we thought, why are we doing? We are making plans, but we're not making plans about the things that really matter most. Mm-hmm. What would you add to that?
Yeah, I think to the we can have good intention. You know, it's like, yeah, we might have these good ideas about things, like you're saying. I think for me, my natural tendency, because my personality is sort of like, oh, stop and smell the flowers, or like get distracted, or I have these ideas of things we'd like to do, and I think earlier on in marriage we'd talk about those things, but without like the intentionality part of it, those things never really took place or never really happened.
Like going to see the fall leaves. I mean, how many years of living in Colorado where we're like, we should really go see the leaves, right. And every year we're like, oh, we waited too long.
Right. So you're saying there's a sense that without intentionality, autopilot kicks in, takes over, and when you look in the rearview mirror, you're like, oh, there it went. There was my life, or this is all I have, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I'm just standing here. But then one of the reasons why we're talking about this is because we're in 2021, than 2020 almost, and the best laid plans of 2019 are laughing at us right now. Right. Why is this subject so important for today?
Yeah, I think, when we think back, I'd like to say we're like post-pandemic, but we're actually not. We're still in it. We're still walking through it. But when I think early on, when we were sort of settling into this new reality of being home and just things swirling and not knowing what was going to happen, and I think I felt, you know, a lot of grief and sadness for what, you know, we were protected in our homes, but so many people were, you know, really struggling, or even, you know, many people dying, and it was just really difficult to wrap my mind around that. But then I think maybe the silver lining in all of that, or a gift in being home in that time, was to everything was sort of stripped away, yeah. and all the running around and busyness that I was doing, I couldn't do anymore.
Right.
And so I think personally, it did give me a gift of space to reevaluate and to think about, are we doing the things we want to do? Or am I just reactive? Am I just responding to what's in front of me, or all the things my kids are asking me, can I do this? Can I go there? That kind of a thing.
There is something about the pandemic that it almost brings us back to like a pre-modern sort of era of civilization.
Right.
You know, I mean, early on, people
except for Netflix.
And Zoom.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Obviously, it's not.
Right.
But you know, there was a destabilizing of things that we thought were stable. Yeah. I mean, even right now, the supply chain disasters and all of that. Mm-hmm. But it's not nearly, as you said, not nearly what it is in other parts of the world, for sure. But we're not used to that. We're not used to that level of disruption. And I think about, when did monastic communities emerge? They emerged in some very chaotic times in what we now call Europe. Back then it was, sets of sort of kinship groups and whatever. And these monastic communities said, let's live with a rhythm in the midst of this. And the rhythm's going to be reading the Word of God, and it's going to be prayer, and it's going to be service, and it's going to be caring for the sick, and it's going to be farming, and different monastic communities with different emphases. And I think there's something there for Christians to reclaim, that if we only live with an order or a rhythm that is imposed from the outside, then one, that may not be a godly rhythm or order. It might be chaotic, might be, and two, it might not actually be producing the kind of flourishing life that God invites us into. So even for, biblically, going back to Egypt, the first thing God does to these people that are rescued from slavery in Egypt is to give them new rhythms. This is how you're going to mark your week. This is how you're going to mark months of the year. This is how you're going to mark your years, with jubilees after every 49, whatever. So there's all of these mile markers in a rhythmic way, in a repeated way, that say, step into something different, so that almost the chaos of the world around you becomes not irrelevant, but it doesn't have the power over you that it might.
Right.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you said, Holly, about how the pandemic giving you a pause or some margin, maybe you didn't say that word, but to look at your life and make some decisions about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little bit more about why... What we need in order to be intentional? It sounds like, if I'm reading into it, you're saying, some space in a way.
Right.
But what else? What are some other things that can help resource us in our desire to be intentional and to make intentional rhythms in our life?
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things that comes to my mind is taking a weekly Sabbath that, we, depending on kind of your church background, that may be something that you had to do or forced to do as a child. You're like, oh, yeah, if I can find time to do that, I will. And but taking that maybe it's a 24-hour period every week where we stop and we pause and we contemplate and we delight in the Lord and we're with Him, but we also have space to just listen and hear, like, what is He saying to me? What is this season for? I think that it looks different for all of us. I don't think it's like, oh, I could write out this rhythm for every person who's a believer and this is what we should all be doing. But I think it really is being prayerful and creating that space to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you have for me? Because I might, the person sitting next to me might have just gone through a divorce and they're struggling to make it day by day. And maybe there's not that many intentional rhythms that person could really put into place. Yeah. And so we really have to be, I think, prayerful about what that season's for each of us.
It sounds like even questioning, who are you asking me to become? Or how are you nurturing me, Spirit of God, in this season of my life, which is unique.
Right.
No, that's I'm really glad you highlighted that, because I do think identity is such a key part of this, of who we're becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And, even from a secular perspective, James Clear in his book Atomic Habits talks about, if you build habits around a goal, those don't stick. But if you build habits around an identity, this is who I am, they do stick. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the classic example, if you're training for a marathon, you're like, I'm going to run because I'm training for a marathon. That's a goal-oriented habit. And marathon's over, you're done,
I did that.
Yeah, same.
Right.
I trained for a half marathon because I had a little bit of positive peer pressure from friends, and I did it, and I ran across the Golden Gate Bridge, and it was amazing, and then I barely ran again after that.
Sure.
Because my identity wasn't a runner. I ran, versus someone who has a rhythm of running. Right. Like maybe you're like, I run a mile 3 times a week. And your identity is like, I run. I'm
right.
a runner. This is right. what I
right.
do.
Right.
Right. right. Yeah. Like our podcast normal host, Andrew Arndt. You know, he is a runner. he right. runs because he's a runner, right? So I think there's something about that, even for as Christians. Like, we pray because we're children of God. We love talking to our Father. Or we do this because this is who we are. So you do begin with a bit of an identity question. And you can reverse engineer that and say, what kind of person are my current rhythms forming me to
yes.
be?
Right.
And hang on a minute. That's not the person God actually wants me to be or says mm-hmm. that I am. And so therefore, let's redesign this.
I've heard it said that oftentimes we can really reflect on the congruency of our life by looking at our desires, our actions, and our beliefs. And so often one of those can be a little off kilter, and we sense that sort of destructive thing happening in our life. We don't really know why, but to take the time to look at those things, to examine our life through those categories can be helpful. I've learned so much from the two of you about your practice of an annual retreat to examine, to look back, to pay attention to where you are right now, and to look forward. And I know that you talk about this practice in your book that's coming out in a year. Yeah, hurry up.
Long way away.
Hurry up. But can you just talk a little bit more about that? How did that come about? What do you do on that?
Well, I think it was probably over 10 years ago.
12, 13 years ago.
Sort of had a couple older couples in our lives who were sort of mentor figures, and they really inspired us to think about this and said, you know, we go away at least once a year, usually around maybe December, January, and pray together and reflect, as Sarah was saying, and think about, you know, what's been happening in the past and where do we want to go in the future. And so we sort of just took that simple idea and didn't really know where we would go with it. And so let's just try to do something. Let's get away for a couple of days. When we started, our kids were really, really little, so we were like desperate to have some time away.
And really just sometimes, to get away to sleep. You
know, right. And sometimes I did have a baby with me, so it wasn't always that restful. But so I think we just started with sort of playing around with a couple. Let's just try a couple practices of reflection and kind of see where it goes.
Yeah, and now it's evolved to where over the last, I don't know, 7 years or so, there's a bit more of a defined structure. So we start with an evening meal out, and that's just like take a breath, like pause, like stop, catch up, all of that stuff, find delight. And then the next day, the next morning is a bit of, it's like if people are familiar with the prayer of examine, it's an ancient tool to kind of reflect, rejoice in the gifts of God, repent of the things that where you fail to give or receive love, and then kind of request and receive grace ahead. We sort of played with that and said, what if we do that over the course of a year? So look back at the previous year, and you start to journal. Like, what are some of the key moments, some of the hard moments, some of the defining moments, some of the, if you're married, some of the big fights that you had, some of the, you know, all of those kinds of things. And then say, gosh, what was God saying to me in the midst of that? Where do I need to repent and say, gosh, that was a drift in my course here. And that was a failure here. Or here were the gifts that I just moved right by. But, you know, what a gift that we didn't, you know, blah, 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 blah. Or we went through this hardship. And so you're kind of praying through that. And then We'll come back together and share that over
lunch.
Let
me say something about it. So I think maybe a simple way, if you're not familiar with examine, a simple way to say it is, where have I said yes to God? And maybe, you know, where have I said no to him? And we might not think in our minds like I'm saying yes or I'm saying no, but if we sort of sit with that and prayerfully think through some of those, that's some good. Of the main threads, you know, in our life, we can, that might be a simple way to think about it.
Yeah, that's good.
And you just mentioned what you've done this 12 years.
Yeah, something
so
like
I'm
that.
Guessing
yeah.
when you began, you had an idea of, okay, this is why we're doing it. It was a big work to set that time aside. It's probably morphed over the years.
Yeah.
But can you tell me, you know, here's this one thing that you started doing, and you've been plodding along with this one thing. What do you think has changed in your life because you committed yourself to it? And if you So that's one question. The other question, if you didn't do it, if you just kind of let go of that and were like, all right, well, that was that, what would change?
Well, let me just first quickly just finish what we do. So the looking back piece, and then there's a bit of a listening for the season ahead piece. And sometimes that's a word from the Lord, like this is a word for the year. Sometimes that's like not a word, but like a phrase or a scripture, and we journal about that and then talk to each other about that. And then after that, there's like looking at all of the rhythms in different areas of our lives, a rhythm of rest, a rhythm of prayer, a rhythm of renewal, a rhythm of relationships, like who are the people we want to circle around and bring close and have regular dinners with versus, you know, seasonal or whatever. And then the final piece is the one that I hate and you love, and that's the calendar, where it actually gets right. in the calendar. It's actually like scheduled. Right. You know?
Which is a really vital piece, I think, because for us, many times in our lives, we like, kind of, we you know, have all these great ideas, or we'd have, you know, go out on a date night, let's do this. And then without that actual step of getting it in the calendar. So I'm kind of a calendar Nazi. I have my Google Calendar and it's color coded and we share it. But that's really how we sort of keep, you know, keep each other accountable to the things that we really want to be intentional about.
Okay, so your question.
I was pushing ahead. I'm like, I'm so excited to talk about this. Thank you for bringing us back.
Yeah. No, you said what would happen or what has
happened as a result. What do you think has happened as a result of this practice, and what do you think would happen if the practice was let go of? Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I would not have built in any time in my life for friends. Mm-hmm. So I listed a whole bunch of different types of rhythms, rest, prayer, renewal, relationships and work. I was great about a rhythm of prayer. Like, you know, I was raised in a home that taught me like good daily practices and all that sort of stuff. But I realized that I am so driven to sort of work and be purposeful that anything that was just for fun. Mm-hmm. So the renewal, rhythms of renewal kind of stuff, like, oh, is it okay to kind of like plan?
Like play.
Play. You know, I've seen a spiritual director several years ago and he's like, where is the play in your life? And I was like, "What? What am I? 12?"
Don't boss me.
And then, like friends. Like, am I a 15-year-old kid? Friends. Like, we're going to the mall to hang out with my friends. And I just realized, wait a minute, no, that's holy, and that's a gift of God. So yeah, I would not have built in time with friends, and it's not like it's super frequent. It's a handful of times a year, time away with some really close guy friends. And then some fun moments, sporting events or whatever. So I don't know. That's what what comes to mind for me.
I think I would say those rhythms of prayer, because I think, because kind of coming into this, I was in a season of being a mom with really young kids and feeling at that point in my life where I was just really responding to everything around me and felt little energy to be proactive, to be intentional. And so I think that I became more aware of that and just had giving the space for the Lord to really speak to me about, Holly, like, I want to be with you more. I want to have time to just sit, and I wanted time to just listen instead of talking all the time. And so I think just giving that space to reflect on that helped me to be more proactive, and not that it became easy, but I think when I set my intentions toward having more of a consistent time and getting up early, that it hasn't been perfect. And I go through seasons where we have interruptions and all kinds of things. But I think giving that continual space to reflect on that has helped me keep that more present and before me.
So it sounds like not only are you doing the work of making your intentions, but then there's the work of actually
doing it.
And then there's also life. I mean, you do this once a year, you said.
Well, now it's become twice a year.
Okay.
We've had to modify it because it's crazy. So there's like a July/early August edition, and then there's like a late December, early January edition.
Good to know. All right.
3 years need all the help we can get. Well, 12 months is just too long. Yeah. Things change so
much. Well, and even that, if you think about, if you have – like usually we try to have something where we write this down and sort of keep these intentional practices before us. And I put it in my phone, so I'm always seeing it. But I think having it in front of us and not even just twice a year, I think you could write something out or have good intentions and just set it aside and like, oh, what did I say I wanted to do? Mm-hmm. But if there's a way to keep it before us, and you know, then I think that helps be more consistent.
So there's an accountability piece to it. But is there ever a moment where you have to readjust your expectations of yourself for each other?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, so in my calendar, it says, you know, 6 a.m. or whatever, pray the Psalms or go to the gym or, you know. Yeah, I'm not necessarily doing that, right? But every day,
or maybe it's 7. Yeah, you start.
It might be 7. It might be like, I'll see, you know. So you do. Life does find a way to take over. But the metaphor I would have is, It's like a ship out in the ocean. If you don't set a course, you'll never get anywhere. Now, even when you set a course, there are tides that pull you off course, and there are storms that delay you, all of those kinds of things. But at least set a course. And again, the idea of it not moving beyond intentions is that calendar piece. Like, if you don't know when and where and what time, all you know, and how often that you're going to build in these specific things, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
You have it's to like, really I'm going to pray more, or I'm going to have more time with the kids. That doesn't work.
Right, you know? Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, we're sort of avoiding that word discipline. What would you say to someone who is listening to this and is just, you know, either overcome with overwhelming feelings of guilt and shame, or is immediately writing this off going, that's for people who are, you know, uber rigid, uber productive, have some sort of special gift where they can say they want to do something and they do it. What do you say to someone who says, I'm not a disciplined person?
Well, I would say I'm not a disciplined person.
Okay.
And Glenn can speak to that.
I'm not saying anything.
Good.
You know, I mean, just my way is a bit more flowy. And so I think by nature, you know, I had like one of my kids is just, I felt like from the beginning she was just naturally put herself in a schedule and just very disciplined. But that is not me. And so I actually feel like a lot of this for me is a response to the lack of what I'm not naturally like. So I think without any of this, I wouldn't get any of these things accomplished. But that being said, we didn't start doing all of this at once. I didn't you know, like I'm going to have, okay, tomorrow I'm going to have 12 practices and I have them all on my calendar. I think it was really asking the Lord just little by little, like, okay, Lord, I have not been consistent in my time with you. I'm getting distracted. I'm overwhelmed. Like, let's start there. Let's maybe try one thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be overhauling this. Right. Like, I'm undisciplined and now I am just a completely disciplined person. So I think for me, it's been slow and it's been adding, you know, a practice here and there as time has gone on.
That's exactly it. I mean, so even if you think of these five sort of spheres or of intentionality, you know, prayer, rest, renewal, which is kind of the fun or play, relationships and work. If you did pick one thing and say, for prayer, I am going to listen to the Lectio 365 app, which we're about to introduce to our whole church in a couple months. Or, you know, for rest, we're going to take a half a Saturday and not do any errands. You can't give up a whole Saturday, maybe, or, you know. And you start in these small places. And I think particularly for church leaders, pay attention to the place where there is no practice that is intentional. And I'm going to guess, just because the data is there, that for many of you as pastors and church leaders, there is no intentional rhythm of friendship. And this last 2 years in the pandemic has really highlighted the loneliness piece of it. And every person you're with is a person that you thought you had to be with. And I felt that guilt as a pastor, like, oh, I just got to be with these, I just got to do these things, you know. And instead of saying, well, actually, there can be time where you find some old friends or people you went to seminary with or whatever that, you know, and we're going to have a Zoom call. I'm in a monthly Zoom call with three other pastors from around the country. And sometimes there's a lot of laughter and joking around. We're talking about different books we're reading. But that's life-giving. And sometimes it's like one of the guys is complaining about his elders or his church, or, you know, and that's okay too, you know. But the intentional rhythm for a space like that can really help.
So good. I think what is really hitting me in this conversation is just how valuable our lives are, that every second of our life, every breath that we take carries with it the possibility of the resurrected Jesus pouring out of us and moving into us. And so I think my prayer is that anyone listening to this would be inspired, first of all, by what God has done in your own life through this regular practice of examine and intention, but that also there would be a grace for the uniqueness of everyone's journey, absolutely, of everyone's season of life. Mm-hmm. A season of grief can't have a lot of rigidity, right?
Oh,
a season of great joy might be the time to birth a new practice, right? Mm-hmm. But I know that that my prayer for us is that this conversation would be inspiring and comforting, and that we would really be able to see the value of our life the way that God sees it.